World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay, so I got a new cell phone. Is there a worse experience in the world than getting a new cell phone and trying to transfer everything over? Apple phone, you got to get Apple Pay. I don't want any of that crap. I just want my phone to work like it used to work. Okay, so bear with me a little bit. And I've been having email issues. I've been talking to Spence about it. I'm not getting my emails. Just telling you, friends, if you're emailing me, I'm not being rude. I may not be getting your email, okay? I get a lot of emails, as you can probably imagine. I read every one of them. I try to respond to every one of them, but I ain't been getting some of them, okay? I just haven't. That's the truth. And man, a lot going on. Let me real quickly, a couple things here I got put up here. Number one, I spoke to Jeff Nell yesterday. I don't know if you guys know it or not. Jeff had a stroke. Jeff's out in California, San Diego. He had a stroke. Nevada. That's right. And I spoke to him yesterday and had a good conversation with him. He's doing better, doing well. We'll be back in the queue soon. But again, I say this, shame on all of us for not checking in on him. Shame on all of us. And so if you say, well, I can't stay in contact with everybody. I don't know what's going on. So Jeff will be back. He's doing well. It's been rough, but he's doing well. He'll be back tomorrow. And then this thing really blew me away. Pastor David Roth, pull up a men's conference there, if you would. Men of Iron, pull that up for me real quickly, Spence. Men of Iron and the event that we're going to have is going to be in Green Bay. Pastor David Roth is the guy that's running it, and he emails me yesterday. He told me, he says, Coach, you got to give me just – you got to give me a little bit of time to catch my breath. I just had surgery for bladder cancer. He said, I need a couple days to get back on my feet. I thought, are you kidding me? A couple days to get back on your feet. So we need to put Pastor David Roth on our prayer list, man, on our prayer list. See, I've been around this long enough that when you're doing big things for the Lord, there's an attack that comes. Always comes. And David's doing a big thing for the Lord. And so I'm just going to pray. Father, Lord Jesus, you said healing is the children's bread. And we don't have to beg you for it. My kids don't have to come to me and beg me for bread. And Father, we just break whatever demonic power that might be that's attacking Pastor Dave. We just pray for complete healing and restoration, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, again, just making you guys aware that there's men conferences. Ray's having one. Ray, I still get it backwards. One's on Friday. One's on Saturday. We're going up. We'd love for you to, if you're up in that area, you'd love to be part of it. Yada, yada, yada. Ray, are you out there, Ray? You're always out there.
Yeah, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ray, help me again. Which one's first, Ray?
Absolutely, yeah. No, ours starts Friday, Dave, and then the follow-up for the men's only leadership is for Saturday.
That's right, okay.
Ours is for anybody.
Ray's on Friday. The men of iron's on Saturday. Got it, man. Got it. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for all you're doing. Appreciate that. I'm looking at my notes here before I dive in here real quickly. I had a conversation with Chad yesterday. Yeah, Chad's one of my favorites, but he don't control me. He's just a good, look, all of you out there, I hope you're not afraid to tell me the truth. I hope you're not afraid to tell me the truth. And Chad made a point with me yesterday that really hit home. He said, Coach, I've been feeling this too, by the way. He says, Coach, you're covering too much stuff. I said, what? He says, yeah. He says, you're bringing great, great information, but it's almost more than we can swallow. It's almost more. He says, you'll get in the show and you'll start and you'll play a video and it's really good. And man, all of a sudden people really caught people's attention. The next thing, then you move on to something else and that catches some. And he said, a lot of times folks would like to talk about some of this stuff. They don't really get the opportunity to be able to do it. And I said, well, Chad, here's my problem. I'm trying to run a show. It's not boring. And, you know, I'm looking to see if people want to engage, want to raise their hand. They're not raising their hand. And I'm sitting there with dead time. And he said, well, if you shut up long enough and gave them a chance to respond on a certain topic, maybe they'll raise their hands. And how many times do you do in the middle of the show, somebody raises their hand, and then 15 minutes later, I call them and they say, I forgot what it was all about. Right? That happens a lot. So I'm going to try to be a little bit more focused. I'm really, really focused here this morning on, I'm just really focused here today. Okay. Just really focused. I want you to know that. And it precipitated from this. That's a big word. That means it rained on me from this. Pull up for me if you can. Boy. Number 8 is really, it's really big. In fact, my wife and I just did this morning. Okay. I think this is, let me stop there a second. When I was, after I just shortly got saved in 1978, on Michelle's birthday, January 28th, 1978, I was coaching football. And it could have been my lifetime job. I mean, coaching here in my local community, Heath High School was great. They liked me. I liked them, all that stuff. And I got saved. And I tell folks, it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It all of a sudden changed me, everything I did. And I realized, even though I had this great job, they loved me. I said, I got to leave. I can't stay here. Because everywhere I go, that old Coach Dave is there. Things I used to say, things I used to do, yada, yada. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I had a radically transformed salvation. And I can't stay here because the old me is everywhere. And so I, stay with me. This is important. This is for you. So I was driving down the road one day, and I'm in this crucible figuring out what the heck we're going to do. And I was listening to a sermon and it came across Habakkuk. I didn't know what it was. It's talking about visions. I'm writing it down. And I knew I couldn't stay here. I couldn't stay. I knew it. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it came across the radio. Yeah. The town where I was going to, anyway. So, but I came across Habakkuk 2. It said this, folks. Are you looking at me? Are you looking? I'm going to give you the greatest, well, some of the greatest advice you've ever heard in your life. Are you ready? If you're right now kind of floundering, why do you halt between two opinions? The Bible says, if God's God, serve God. If he's not, if Baal be God, serve him. But by God, get on one team or another. That's what the scripture says, right? And so I was led to Habakkuk 2. I'm talking to you out there. Some of you are praying for things, salvation of children, new jobs, finances. I can run through a healing. I can run through a litany of things that you folks are praying for out there. And here's what Habakkuk says. Habakkuk. Bear with me a second. This is so real to me. This is the word the Lord gave me. I was driving down the road. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and how I answer him when I'm reproved. By the way, reproved means corrected. And the Lord said, hey, dude, write the vision. What? Damn it. Write it down. And make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. I'm telling you something prophetic right now for you, for you. There are many of you out there who are praying for things, advancement on a job, finances, whatever it is. Have you written it down? Have you written it down? The Lord answered me and said, write it down and make it plain that he may run that readeth it. I don't even know who he is that's going to read it. But when I write it down, somebody's going to read it and run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak, not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, here's the point. I want all of you today, it's not an order, you don't have to. What are you praying for? What are you believing for? What do you take before the Lord and petition with him every day for? Have you written it down? Have you written it down? Just this morning, Michelle and I wrote down again another vision. We wrote it and I put it on the refrigerator. So I wrote a vision back in 1970. When did I go to London? Doesn't matter. 81. I wrote a vision. I put it on my refrigerator and I repeated it every day. And the vision was a new coaching job in a new town where I can have a positive, dramatic impact on the lives of others. I wrote that on, stuck it on the refrigerator. And it wasn't 3 months later, I was hired as a football coach at London High School. And being hired, see, I thought I was hired as a football coach at London High School because I was going to win state championships and I was going to be famous and I was going to be the next Woody Hayes. No. It wasn't about that. It was about going to London High School. Remember, we have a positive, dramatic impact on the lives of others. It was about going to London High School and getting my butt sued. And what looked like the end of my career was the launching of a new one. Anybody picking up on this? And how many of you out there, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? Have you written it down? Have you written it down? Have you confessed it every day, every time you walk past the refrigerator? Lord, this is what I'm standing on. This is what I'm standing. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. By the way, if it's of the right spirit, if you just want a new job so you can be a millionaire and build your big house and be a king, no. Your motive's got to be right. And I just want to encourage all of you out there today. Michelle and I just did it. I'm not going to share with you what it is. Have you written it down? Ray, have you written the vision down? What the Lord wants to do through you, have you written it down? How many of you out there have written it down? Say, well, coach, I pray for it every day. Well, can the one who reads it run with it? How can he read it if he hasn't written it down? Because there's something permanent about putting it on paper. Boom! It's like a contract. And see, I don't write down, coach, I'm sorry, Lord, I want to be governor of Ohio. I don't want to be governor of Ohio. Lord, if that's your will for me, I'll be governor of Ohio. I want your will, whatever your will is. Lord, let me know so I can write it down. And sometimes you have to be specific, and sometimes you can't be specific. You don't know what you don't know. You say, well, coach, I want to pray for the healing of my son. God bless you. Sometimes you don't always get what you pray for. That's why we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. You're in my phone golf here. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Happy birthday, Stephanie, by the way. She just texted me here this morning. My wife reminded me it's Stephanie's birthday today. I got a new phone. I hate the damn thing. Got to figure my way out to it. Okay, so here's, this is the premise, and this is the jumping off point that I want to, look, despite what I say, I already know what I think. I don't need to repeat what I think. And this doesn't have to be a show, a gathering, whatever it is, where we come in and I do 40-minute monologues. Dialogues are always better than monologues. And I also want to say this. If you want to do a monologue, get your own show. Did you hear me? If you want to do a monologue, get your own show. This is a dialogue. You say something, I say something. I say something, Ray says something. You say something, Gene says something. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. The only one can have a monologue is me, as I often say, it's my show. Okay, so bear with me. Here's what I want you to know. Number two, can I just take you down here for a minute? Because here's the greatest lie perpetrated. This is what is holding back American Christianity, in my opinion. A lie, a lie, a lie. Pull up number two. Are Christians supposed to judge? I found this online from Ethan. I don't know who this guy is. Have you ever heard people say things, I don't want to judge, or perhaps, who am I to judge? Maybe you heard, oh, I would never judge anyone, or don't judge me. Statements like this are thought to be righteous, loving, and kind. It's as if the person who says them is saying, I don't know what is right for the person right now in their journey with Christ, or if they're not Christian, it's a statement of ignorance. So how could I possibly tell them what they should do? The problem with this, of course, is it's not biblical. It's not true that Christians should not judge. It's not true that it's unloving to judge. It's not true that we don't know what's good for people. The opposite is exactly the truth. A lot of times I can look at you, those of you in the queue, and I can see what's holding you back, and you can't see it. But I'm not allowed to say it because being judgmental, right? Hey, folks, it's from the pit of hell. It's that lie is from the pit of hell. In fact, all people on the earth, Christians, of all people on the earth, Christians are supposed to judge the most.
Boom.
How are you going to evangelize anyone if you don't ever have any judgments about how they should live? Hey, dude, stop sleeping with her. You're not married to her. Well, who are you to judge? Well, I'm the witness, dude. Have you ever read these statements in the New Testament? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. For what have I to do with judging others? Is not those inside the church whom you are to judge? Or do you not know that saints will judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Scroll down, I'm not going to spend all my time reading this, okay? Okay, so let me put this in the chat because it's really good. Do you not know that we're to judge angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? Judge not that you be not judged. Stop judging. Coach, you're being judgmental. No? Well, am I? Put in a chat. go here. Go to Webster, go to three. Go to three. Let's get this straight here. What does it mean to judge? Well, a judge is a civil officer. We know that. Supreme Court, God's a judge. Okay, go ahead. Keep going. Scroll up, Spence. One who has the skill to decide in the history. Keep going. Judge to compare facts or ideas and perceive their agreement or disagreement. To form an opinion. To bring the issue, the reasoning, or deliberations of whoever told you that you're not supposed to judge has lied to you. They're lying to you. To judge is to discern, to distinguish, to consider accurately for the purpose of forming an opinion or conclusion. Judge, examine, and pass it on. Judge rightly. Judge. Okay, hang on. Judge. What's a judge? Well, judge is a position, but it's also a verb. It's also a verb. Yes or no? Does the church tell you don't judge? Christians don't judge. Okay, hang on. I'll see you, Alan. I'll get to you in a second. So, folks, here's where you're messing up. You're not a judge. You're a witness. What's a witness? Testimony, attestation of a fact or event. One who sees the execution of an instrument and describes it. One who gives testimony. To seek or know by personal presence, scrolling down, to attest, to witness, to bear testimony. See, when you tell somebody, you better stop sleeping with that lady if you're not married to her. You're not judging, you're witnessing. You're bearing testimony. Do you understand? You understand the difference? And if I love you, I'm going to bear witness to you. I'm going to testify to you. Now, you can get mad and you can take it as judgmental. But if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hey, dude, you ain't never going to get blessed if you keep doing it. I'm just telling you. Oh, coach, you're judgmental. Well, call what you want. No, I'm not. I'm a witness. Hang on. Then number five says, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. What? Yeah. To correct by punishment. To punish, to inflict pain. To afflict by other means. To purify from errors or faults. Whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. What? Yeah. Makes you run some gassers. Makes you do some extra laps. Makes you sit in the corner. But doing okay, Vinny? I don't care. Hang on, I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Chastening, witness, judge, all these. We don't even know those terms. Point number six. Chastening, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. What does it mean to be chastened? Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Scourges every son whom he receives. That word for chasten is discipline. How many of you don't discipline, don't chasten your children? Or how many of you look back over your shoulder and say, damn, I should have chastened them more? Why? I wanted to be his best friend. No. You sit in the corner and you don't talk to me like that. I say to my grandchildren every once in a while, I chasten them. Why? Because I love them. I love them. And if they don't learn to respect me, they ain't going to respect the Lord. They ain't going to respect any authority. And fighting back against authority is rebellion. And rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. So throughout Scripture, God portrays himself as a father. And those who receive Jesus as Savior are his children. So an analogy of father, son, we understand it. God, daddies chasten their kids. God chastens us. And sometimes he uses others to do it. Often people ask, is God punishing them for the wrong choices in the past? All of our punishments for sin were exhausted upon Jesus. You are not being punished for sins of the past. But the wrath of God was poured out on him. You've received forgiveness. However, stop it, will you? Damn it, stop it! Whatever it would be. So, Coach, now you're being judgmental. No, I'm witnessing. I'm witnessing. And we are in the mess that we are in today because Christians will not witness and say, brother, that is wrong. I love you, but that is wrong. And then what's our brother say? Who are you to judge? See, they don't know the difference between a judge and a witness. We're witnesses. We bear witness. We testify. Witnesses testify to the truth. Jesus is the judge. You get it? And we look around us in our church. We just look around everywhere and everything's a mess because nobody will judge. Nobody wants to judge. All right. Now I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to talk about anything else. I want to hear from you before I do. By the way, have you written it down yet? You going to write your vision down and write it down? Pull up number 9, Chad, real quick. I'm Chad, I'm sorry. I'm reading Chad's name here. 24 best Bible verses about hardships and trials. The divine purpose of God in our pain. Scroll them up a little bit. Just a few of them. Huh? Consider pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Put this in the chat. All these verses about the judgment of God, the chastening of the Lord on you. Not only so, but we glory in our suffering. Do you glory in your sufferings? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance is character, and character hope. Lord's just sometimes just making you run a few more laps. He knows what you need. You got too much hanging over your belly. So he makes you run some laps. Changes your lifestyle. Quit doing this and start doing this. And then I know you're tracking with me. Scroll down one more. I'm coming to all of you here in just a second. Peter, in all this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you will have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith. Wow. It's a test. You're passing the test. You're learning a lesson, or you're going to have to repeat it. You have to repeat third grade again because you didn't learn the lesson third grade. I could go on, but I don't want my show to be a mono. Put that in the chat, will you? I want my show to be a dialogue. Come on in, Alan. Hey, tell us your story, not your life story. Okay? Not Alan. I'm telling all of you. Don't preach at us. I'm the preacher. Don't preach at us. Tell us your story. Go ahead, Alan.
Good morning, Coach. All they say when they say you're judging me, all this and that, let me sin in peace, Coach.
That's right.
Let me sin. And then here's people want to get on this kick about condemnation. Here's the thing. If I'm breaking the word of God, I'm condemned already by the word.
Amen, brother. Right. Amen. There. Amen. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, when I was coaching football and the quarterback his technique wasn't right, and I'd say, daggone it, here's what you got to do. And I'd go through the steps again. The quarterback never said to me, Coach, would you stop judging me? Never, ever, ever. Because I was there to judge his behavior and correct it. The whole purpose of judging is correction. Why is this so hard for us to understand? We don't want to listen to it. Johnny, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Wow. Mm. I love this topic because, it's so much of the enemy. That's how he wants to shut us up.
That's right.
He wants to throw us in a corner, make us feel guilty. Those are not the works of God. We're the hands and feet of God. God tells us to go out and basically judge. We're not judging.
He tells me we're going to be hated of all men. We're trying to go out and be loved. He said, no, you're going to be hated. Because why? We are to bear witness to the truth.
I mean, it's not like we're going out judging people's hearts. We're judging action.
That's right.
And we're correcting.
That's right.
It's like if you see a 6-year-old boy run out in the middle of the road, and you're just going to sit there and watch him? That's a judgment call. Your instinct right there tells you, go out there and scoop him up. Get him out of there. Everything we do every day is a judgment call. Every single day.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is ever is in your heart going to come out of your mouth? And for too long, we have silenced our mouth. Because the church world told us, don't judge. Jeff.
Coach, bearing witness, we did that for about 14 years every weekend.
Yep.
So, you know, a quick example. I'd be standing out by the road out front of that strip club, and Pastor Bill would be up the back door. And some drunk would come out there and start cussing him and ripping him. I mean, just ripping him. And he'd tell them. They'd say, listen, you've never drank alcohol before, have you? He said, no, I haven't. Then all of a sudden, he'd yell down the road. He said, J.C., come up here. And I'm like, oh, here he goes again. And I would step up there and he'd step back. And he said, talk to this guy. He's lived this lifestyle you're living right now. He said, I haven't. So he'd walk away. One quick example was I had the bouncer down there. He hated our guts for years. Walked around the Billy Club, hated our guts. So he called me up there to him. I stood at the corner, just me and him. Shared with him my alcohol problems over 20 years. In and out of bars, I was in strip clubs too. I said, buddy, I've done the same thing you're doing. I know what this is all about. So as I told him, he started opening up to me. His wife had a bone disease. She couldn't dance no more. She was bad shape. He told me her real name, and they never tell you their real name. Right. And then he started getting tears in his eyes. And I ended up having a great conversation with him. He looked at me and said, listen, don't you go down there and tell them guys what I said to you. I said, I won't, buddy. And I didn't. Because they asked me, and I said, I can't tell you. It's private between me and Dave. Mm-hmm. So I ended up calling my good buddy, owns pizza shops, 3 of them, Domino's in Mount Vernon. He quit that job at the bouncer at the strip club, went and drove for at Domino's delivering pizzas and got out of that mess. And then he'd stop in every once in a while at the car lot and see me.
Bear witness to the truth. You're not being judgmental, although there's nothing wrong with being judgmental between right and wrong. Somebody's got to tell them what you're doing is wrong. I'm sorry if you don't like me. What you're doing is wrong. Stop it. Why is that so hard for us to get? And you're right, Ray. Personal testimony is really important. You're a witness. I used to do that. Now I don't. I'm a witness. You can change too. James Thomas, come on in. Then Vinny. Come on, I want to hear from you guys, not me. You know what I think.
Praise the Lord, pass the biscuits. So praise, I just give him thanks, but you know, I'm going to ask you guys a question since you're bringing up this judgment thing, this judge. Messiah kind of addressed this in Matthew 7. Now, this is a question. This is something that we can ponder because this comes from Messiah himself. Judging others, 7, verse 1. Judge not. I to me, it's a hard issue, but judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then he goes on and talks about, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye or sister's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye first? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log or a telephone pole in your own? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This is to me, this is kind of a hard issue. I totally understand what we're saying when we're preaching and telling people to turn. I think it's a different type of I don't even think it's a judgment. But anyway, that's what comes from Messiah. What to you guys, what does this mean? Amen.
Amen. Okay, so look. We have to be careful here. I mean, none of us perfect. So we cannot not witness because we have sin in our own life. Judge not lest you be judged. Same standard. That's right. That's right. Look, the sins I'm dealing with in my life, I know they're sins and I'm going to deal with them. But that's not going to prevent me from testifying to somebody else, right? We are to witness. The Bible, the Word of God, is the judge. Holy Spirit's the judge. That's why when Jeff testifies to that guy, he's convicted. The Holy Spirit convicted him, not Jeff. So if you think that you have to have perfectly pure life before you can go testify to somebody else, you're missing the whole thing. Clean up your life, yes.
Yeah, I really think it's a matter of bringing someone into, pick the poison, bringing someone into condemnation, bringing someone into a judgment that God has done with him. Yeah, I think it's a matter of the heart of the person who's doing the judging.
Amen. Got to move on, Jane. Got to move on. Amen. Craig, come on.
Well, it's long.
Vinny, go, Vinny. I'm sorry, Craig. Hang on. Vinny's up. Then Craig.
Yeah, Coach, remember that show, the radio show you did 8 years ago with that room full of sodomites?
Yeah.
Right? That was my first experience of watching judgment and watching you take them on. There wasn't one point in which they got you to go on your heels. You were steadfast the entire time.
I stayed on the offensive, brother. I stayed on the offensive, right? Because why? Because they love to say, well, so's your old man. Well, what about you, huh? Or they grab a hold of you and say, had this happened before? I'm testifying to the sodomites, and they grab a hold of my belly. It happened. The guy grabbed a hold of my belly and says, what about gluttony? So what did I do? Go home, never testify again? I said, bud, thank you. I'm going to lose some weight. But while I'm losing weight, you better quit having sex with men.
Boom.
The two aren't related. You get that, don't you, folks? Come on, Craig.
Hey, Spencer, pull up Isaiah 33:22. So, you know, Coach, a judge does not make law. Of course, we're having a problem in our country about that, right? A judge right. only, you know, he applies the circumstances to the law. Right. So who's the law? Well, I would say the Creator is the law, right? So, you know, we're part of creation and we get to dance in it, but we didn't create it. So therefore we fall underneath the lawgiver, right? Mm-hmm. So the Lord's the lawgiver and he's the judge. And
wait a minute, the Lord judges? What? Okay. He ain't supposed to judge, is he?
Well, when he created the law, he already did judge because he said, this is righteous and this is unrighteous. If you have a problem, if you go to someone and say, you know, hey, you're a really nice person, but you're in a, you know, you believe in homosexuality. I said, your beef isn't with me. Your beef is with your Creator. Okay. Now, the fact that I'm telling you this is not, I'm judging you. I'm witnessing to you.
Testifying.
Right. And if we come in that context, right, then you're allowing the Holy Spirit, right, to come into this conversation. And then if you come in with mightiness as, okay, well, what about this in your life and that? And you'd say, well, you know, you're probably right about that, you know. And the thing is it doesn't deny what I'm saying to you right
now. That's right. So when the guy grabbed hold of my belly, I said, thanks for letting me know that. I'm going to lose some weight. Thanks.
Right, you know. But at the end of the day, we're both all going to have to answer to the lawgiver. So that's kind of the way I think I try to handle the situation.
We are to bear witness. We're to testify. And see, it's not my fault if they receive it as judgment. I'm not judging them. I'm saying, dude, by the way, somebody help me out here. When you go to gymnastics, don't you have a judge? Don't judges hold up numbers? How come the gymnast doesn't say, who are you to judge? Don't judge me. Because we don't understand the word. We've let the enemy take the word and change it. Change the words, change the world. Randy.
There's two witnesses, Coach. There's a credible witness, and then there's an uncredible witness.
Yeah.
And we should always have a testimony, okay? Always. That doesn't matter if you're where you're at in your journey. But, Coach, I think what the hypocrite situation when we say we can't judge them because, well, you have a mote in your eye. You know, okay, here's the deal, Coach. Now think about what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And he goes on and he shows you how to deal with things. And then he says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So in other words, Coach, if I've David Arthur moved out of homosexuality, okay, he's credible now. He can tell them back to them, look, right. You guys, you need to repent and come out of that. They can't throw anything up to him because he took the splinter out of his eye or the mote out of his eye. That's and right. He has credible authority now to come against it. So that's when your obedience to what you've repented from and have turned from, then you become credible and you have the right as a child of God to speak to sin because you overcame it. You have authority over it now and your obedience has been fulfilled. So we have to see the level where you're at. You know,
hey, Randy, we cannot testify to people if we're doing the same damn thing. I can't talk.
I can't talk to somebody
about pornography if I'm watching pornography. You understand? That's judging hypocritically. Now, if I'm out there and I'm talking to some guy about homosexuality and he grabs a hold of my belly and says, what about gluttony? See, he just changed the subject. And I would say, yes, sir, you're right. I do need to change. I do need to lose some weight. But let me talk to you about sodomy a second. Because my sin's gluttony, your sin's sodomy, brother. And I'm trying to help you get free from sodomy. Hey, by the way, thanks for reminding me of my gluttony. Don't let him turn it on you. Don't let him turn it on you. So's your old man. I know. Do you sin? Yeah, I do. But I don't have butt sex with other men. Bible calls that an abomination, dude. Let me tell you this. I'll work on my gluttony if you work on your homo sex. Fair deal? Don't let him put you on the defensive. Acknowledge him and say, yeah, what about this? Throw it right back at him. Alan.
Hey, Coach, word on that gluttony business. So Jesus was called a glutton by all the bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees. You know he wasn't fat, so gluttony doesn't have anything to do with weight, and I'll prove it to you.
Amen on that one, brother. Huh? Amen on that. I'm short and stocky as built this way. Go ahead.
Hey, so in the Hunger Games, one of them Hunger Games, you know, that movie, I can't remember which one it was. So what they were doing is they had a big buffet there, and all the rich folk were going in there. You know, all the Hunger Game guys go in there, and they give them a pill, Coach. They'd take that pill. They'd go fill up their plate. They was eating the buffet. Then they'd go and throw up in the trash can. They can fill it up again. See, gluttony biblically has to do with serving false gods because there's certain things about strange gods, false gods, that we probably don't know about here in Western civilization, Western culture. But that's what they did to serve that god. They would eat till they couldn't eat anymore, vomit, go back and eat again for that god or whatever they were into. So this thing about gluttony being about weight, zero about it. Look how many people attack Trump about his weight because they can't get him on anything else. Because Trump don't drink, he don't do that. You know, it just goes on and on, Coach. But they called Jesus a glutton and he was not fat.
And hey, Alan, they called him the accuser of the brethren, didn't they? Accuser of the brethren. When all you're doing is testifying, not accusing anybody of anything. You're testifying to the truth.
Let me send in peace, Coach. We got to get a shirt made. Let me send in peace.
Let me send in peace. Neil Levy, come on in.
You know, we all have our high school stories. I'm going to go back that far, but I never had a problem with speaking in front of crowds of people. Never bothered me. So back in high school, there was a thing called forensics, and that's where you'd speak in front of people, and there was a panel of three judges that would judge how you did it. And right. you'd always get what was called a critique sheet.
Yep.
And I always accepted that as constructive criticism to better myself. And all these jocks walking around in high school, football and basketball and everything, I became a letterman because I followed those critique sheets and I became the best that I could possibly be. So my senior year, I got to walk around with this letterman jacket. So it was pretty cool. Constructive criticism is very fruitful.
And amen. 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 I got distracted. Where am I here? Hang on. I'm coming back here. Joe Allen. Come on in here, Joe. I was looking, by the way, I was looking something in the chat. Vinny, did you put in there that you posted that, didn't you, Vinny? Radio under I got to copy that. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Aren't we a nation of laws? Just like in the Bible, but like the Bible and the Ten Commandments, laws. People are failing in consequences of their own actions. They do not have a good recourse when someone talks to them about their own actions. That's why we fail as humans, because we think we're in the right.
Amen. Well, again, no, it falls back into the judge not lest you be, let you, friends, look. Advice requires some judgment. It's like I just gave you guys some advice. I said, write the vision down. Write it down. I gave you some advice. You don't have to do it. And then when you come back 3 weeks later and you're still complaining, I'll say, did you write that thing down? Well, no. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is kind of stuff that we deal with. Let me get up here. Hang on. I got to come back in. Alan's full of it today. Come on in, Alan.
Coach, have Spencer pull up. Let's see here. My goodness. It's Corinthians 3:6 about the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life.
Right.
And what that means is the word, we're all held to the standard of the word. So the word kills if we're living against the word, if we're going against the word of God, the letter killeth. But being filled with the Holy Ghost gives us life. How? Because it gives us the power to tell sin and Satan no. It gives us the power and authority to be able to live this thing out.
Amen.
And that's where people miss it. And it's just like the other day, whenever all those devils walked into that Baptist church the other day, you did not see any men stand up and rebuke Don Limbin and all those other devils.
None of them.
Cast no devils out. Why? Because they're not taught that anymore.
No.
In the cemeteries. They're not taught this anymore. Most denominations, I don't care which one you want to pull up, they don't believe in casting out devils anymore. They don't believe in none of these things that Jesus did daily. They don't believe it anymore. So and that's what the word killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Without being filled in the Holy Ghost.
So Alan, here's a dilemma for you, for all of us. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Pastors that are in there, Pastor Clint, Pastor, I don't know who I want to listen in here. Have nothing to do. By the way, hang on a minute. What does nothing mean? What does nothing mean? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, hang on. What if you go to church? Sorry. Pick up your toes. And the couple beside you are faithful churchgoers. And they shack up. Are you supposed to say something about it? And the scripture is very clear. Don't bring that sinful mess in here. Don't bring that sinful mess in here. The job of the pastor is to go to that guy and say, listen, we love you. I'll be happy to marry. I'll marry you for free. But if you guys are still going to continue to live in rebellion to God, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. It's church discipline, is it not? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. We love you, but if you're going to stay part of this fellowship, you're going to have to get married or at least quit living together and certainly stop fornicating. We don't get that in church, do we? Oh, we don't get that in church.
Coach, what's the difference in that right there and me voting for somebody that's bleeding? There's no difference. If I'm putting a bill of approval, if I'm a church and I got fornicators in there and the whole church knows they're fornicating and I don't address it, first of all, I don't really love them because I don't care if they get in a car wreck when they leave the place and they die and go to hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no difference. If I put my stamp of approval, that's how God works. If I put my stamp of approval on somebody that's going to kill babies and I'm going to vote for them, I'm telling God, hey, God, guess what? I'm fine with that abortion.
Yep. Got
fornicators in there and I don't address it. And the whole church knows they're sleeping together. The whole, you know, it's a thing that everybody knows and we don't address that. Yep. Man, we're just as guilty as they are.
Okay. So Alan, what do you do when they say, well, look, we can't get married because I'll lose my ex-husband's social security.
Money's the root of all evil.
Come on in, Dave Allison. I want to get Allison in there and Trump in there. Come on in, Dave.
Coach, you keep this up. You're always going to stay at 100 people, really. If you want to get to one more, listen. Come on, Coach. Come as you are. Hey, if you're shacking up with your girlfriend, she looks pretty sweet. You, my brother, are living your best life now.
Hey, baby.
Your
best life.
Holy smokes. No, Coach, actually, sorry for the sarcasm, but really what the word says, if you see your brother in error, you go to him, right? Yeah. That's love.
That's love.
That's what the word says. That's what the word says.
Dave, would love for you to be part of this fellowship, but you're going to have to get married, right?
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Oh. Yeah.
But again, you're trying to protect them because in James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin to them. Right. So, I mean, that's what the word said. So, I mean, it's pretty clear.
Hey, Dave, we don't hate sin. We don't hate sin. That's true.
There goes the airplane.
We don't understand how offensive sin is to our Savior. We don't hate it. Mark Trump.
Yeah, it's very clear, isn't it? I got a couple thoughts. One is, why don't the pastor do these things and call these things out? Why don't he have his elders police the church for these things actively? Why isn't there a list of things to keep out of the church? The wolf list. These wolves are not allowed in the church, and make a list of actions. They don't, because how much does Billy Bob out there give to the plate? He's in sin, but I can't say nothing to him because he's a big giver.
That's right.
But then you look at Harry Jones over here. Boy, Harry and his whole family, his son's in sin. But if I say something, I have the elders talk to his son, I'm going to lose his dad. His dad gives a lot of money.
Yeah.
This is what's going on, Coach. It's all about money. It's about salvation, and I think they'll hit it. They're not teaching it anymore. Shouldn't there be a safety and defense class in the seminaries and how to raise up a security force? Mm. Shouldn't that be like the primary topic? Amen, Coach. Good stuff coming out.
Amen. That's why when I was a football coach, one of our captains got out of line. I treated him harsher than others. I remember, I could tell you the name, but I won't. I remember in front of the whole team, one of our captains screwed up. Second time he'd done it. And I stood up and said, in front of the whole team, said, listen, Scott, captain represents me. You're my subordinate. When you get out of line, you ain't a captain anymore, dude.
Amen.
Right? That's called church.
Amen.
Whom the Lord loved. Then
he becomes a worker of iniquity. He's doing iniquity, right? But if you're in charge, you're a worker of iniquity. Amen.
So, Mark, you know what happened? 2 weeks later, I gave him his captainship back. Because the discipline corrected him. Randy.
Great example, Coach. That's a great example. Coach, I was going to say kind of what Mark said, and I think it's really important that we understand this. The pastors today, Coach, one of the reasons is what Mark said, because they're afraid of losing money. But another one is, Coach, they haven't been obedient in that area of life, in sexual things. Because so now, Coach, they have authority to throw out or to ask someone to leave living in adultery or in a sexual immoral situation. They have no authority over it. And if they do come at it, then it is by condemnation. They're doing some of the same things. So if you find an old elder board coach, and I've seen this too, the pastor, somebody's living in adultery, and they go to their house and they say, you all need to live. And people go, well, these deacons here and these elders are all born. How do they have any authority to speak to us?
Yeah.
See, that's what we're looking at, coach. If you don't have the obedience in your life, you have no authority to deal with this. And that's where the church is, coach. Yeah. You're making an awesome point here, coach, today. Thanks. This is great.
Thanks. Craig, got a couple minutes left. Then Jack, go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, just to affirm what Randy's saying, that's all under church toolbox, under saving judge's children.
By the way, let me stop. Hey, Craig, I want you to talk about, the last couple of days, I want you to talk about that. So be prepared maybe to talk about some tomorrow, okay? Go ahead.
I won't be here tomorrow, but we can do it.
Monday, whenever.
Okay. But anyways, the pornography, and I put in there the Barna research, under church toolbox, so that the Barna says 60% of Christians are watching this. Okay. And then of course, pastors are watching this. So this just ties into exactly what Randy's saying. That's and right. Because we are not willing to talk about it, we're not willing to deal with it, Amen.
Amen. Let me show you some Jack, go ahead.
Okay, real quick, without all the details, 35 years ago, I saw a pastor do exactly what you're talking about today, and I was stunned to watch it because I was a new kid on the, I was just a visitor. But you have never seen church growth like happened after he did that.
Mm.
It was phenomenal. I was stunned.
Amen.
And he did it. He did it by the book, very, very, very carefully, and asked them in public, in church, Sunday morning, either get married or you'll be escorted out today.
Amen.
And they refused and they were escorted out. And within the next two months, we were building their new church. That church exploded. Before we got finished, they were looking for an expanded building.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Look, I got to throw this in. Just bear, got to throw a little bit of current events in here. This is unbelievable, folks. Pull up. Third thing down. Biden wasn't Biden. Folks, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. You got it there? Look, folks. Look, this is a whole Facebook page, and all it does, Spencer, I don't know if, golly. There are a bunch of pictures on this page. I sent you the link. Look, folks. Look. His ear doesn't match. Biden ain't Biden. Who was that guy? Who was that guy? I don't know, Spencer, if you can make it bigger. I mean, when I get it on my Facebook page, it shows the whole thing. The ear doesn't match up. The lips don't match up. Ain't no way that guy is Joe Biden, who's been our president of the United States. Look at these. The earlobe doesn't match up. Huh? The distance between the ear and the jaw doesn't match up. Who was this guy that was president of the United States for all those years?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Look
same
at the
thing.
Ear. Go back there. Look at the ear. You can't fake that, folks. What the hell's been going on? What has been going on? Thanks for the lively show. See you tomorrow.